It is a joy to be with Plymouth, my home church. For those of you who don't know, I was confirmed in this congregation and raised in this congregation, and now I come to you as your acting conference minister. Let's talk about some thresholds. And I bring greetings from the 71 churches of the Rocky Mountain Conference to you this morning. And it is also a joy to be with my sister and colleague and friend, Tundi Wei, who has been just a new gift in my life over the last 8 years. So it's a joy to get to share this time with her today.
Many of you don't know me. My name is Tundi Wei Dale Ferguson. I serve in ministry with your neighbor congregation, First Congregational Church of Loveland. And it is an honor for me also to be here. I feel a little bit like the younger sister in the crowd, and so I'm a little bit intimidated by my elder sisters here in ministry. But really, I bring greetings from your neighbors down the road. It's an honor and a privilege to be in this space with all of you. Aaron and I have been friends since my family first moved to Colorado 8 years ago from Chicago, and she is pastor, friend, sister, co-conspirator, not to mention my immediate predecessor at Loveland UCC. So there are lots of concentric and overlapping circles as we gather in this space this morning.
So as Tundi Wei and I sat talking about the service, and we talked about what we were each going to bring, we had this wild idea of maybe we just bring our conversation. We could have stuck with the script.
And that would have been easier.
But in the spirit of Marta, who opens up possibilities of new ways of being, we are going to come with you today together and in conversation.
And in that spirit, we invite you into prayer with us. Holy God, Mother, Father, Parent of us all, bidden or unbidden, you are here with us, around us, among us, and within us. And yet we pause and we call upon you. Be present in our conversation, make yourself known, and now may the words of our mouths and the thoughts of all of our hearts bring us ever closer to you. For you are our rock, our redeemer, and the one who weaves us together. Amen.
Amen. So we have just these few lines of Lydia in this text from Acts, and yet we learned so much about her in just these few lines. We meet her at the riverbank with a group of women gathered to pray.
We learn that she's a God worshiper, a Gentile who adheres to Judaism but isn't quite a full convert. Certainly, though, she's a woman of faith.
The text tells us that she's from Thyatira, that she deals in purple cloth, which is a signal that this is a woman of means because purple cloth is expensive. So she comes with some prominence and some wealth and some authority.
Scripture tells us that she listens to Paul and his companions and that God opens her heart. That's one of my favorite lines. That God deigns to intercede in and through this woman, that Lydia is receptive, and the Holy Spirit opens her heart.
And at the riverbank, Lydia finds herself at this threshold, in this liminal space between what she was and what she will be. And in the words of our hymn that we just sang, Lydia chooses to be open-hearted, as Tundi Wei just said, in exchanges with the faithful not her own, trusting God's way with strangers. Trusting God's way with strangers. She is baptized. And Lydia becomes the first convert in Philippi. We can imagine her being a prominent leader of that church, a founding member, and a leader of that community.
Trusting God's way with strangers. Lydia invites Paul and his companions to stay at her home. The translation that we read says she prevails upon them. And we kind of love the message interpretation.
Yes. Prevails, what does that mean? And the message makes it so clear. She will not take no for an answer.
And what courage that must take. Don't you think? Not to take no for an answer. I can't help from my own location wondering, didn't she worry about how this would impact her business, her livelihood, her standing in the community, having a group of foreign men in her house? Scandalous, wouldn't it be? And yet there she is. And you spoke to this so well, Mandy. There Lydia is standing at this threshold with great courage and with great faithfulness.
Great hospitality. And when I think and learn of all that Lydia is, I can't help but think of Martha. I see Lydia in Martha, and I see Martha in Lydia. Her faithfulness, her courage, as we say and have said, her influence, and her willingness not to be thwarted. Martha, you stand at thresholds. You are unafraid of thresholds. In those spaces of what is known and unknown, in what is familiar and what is strange, you just stand with courage and faithfulness, unafraid, well, maybe afraid, but willing to be there. Mm-hmm. And you invite us to join you there. And then in that space, not necessarily knowing what to do or where to go, you move. You don't just stand at the threshold, you walk through it and you join us. You invite us to walk through it with you. You are a woman of force. Fierce, with authority, and I think sometimes with trembling. And yet you don't shy away from the threshold.
As Aaron and I have been in conversation, we named that Martha for you, church, it's not an idea. And I think you all have already fallen in love with this about your associate pastor. Church isn't a theory for you. It's not a pie in the sky dream. It is the nitty-gritty space where we human beings risk loving each other, where we begin to live into the wild and transformative love that Jesus embodied for us.
And I think this is why you've called her in this moment. I think this congregation has called you into their midst to be their associate pastor, to walk with them. Because you have this gift of being unafraid of thresholds. And we are at a threshold moment, friends. You have the capacity to enter those thresholds and be aware, be a present, invite us to see what is sacred about that space, not just what is scary. You say, yep, it's full of mess, but we're going through it anyway.
So let us bless the Lord. Let us bless God's holy name, the one who leads us into life.
Bless the Lord, my soul.
Think we were done yet, did you? Okay, good. Just checking. Because we got to piggyback off of Mandy and speak, Martha, again to your gifts and those gifts in this space. And now, God's beloved, we get to speak to what this text, what this scripture is saying to us. What the invitation, what the call is for us, God's beloved, as church together.
So I find us gathered here, gathered in this space, gathered with incredible music, gathered with robes and stoles and pews. We are in this formal space of the church. We are in the midst of liturgy, and liturgy is a powerful conveyor of the sacred. I actually think liturgy is one of Marta's superpowers. She has a way of bringing liturgy alive and making this word and sacrament full of meaning and full of life. We're gathered in this building, and I am here today, and I'm thinking I'm in the back wing, and I'm thinking about the space as a confirmand myself. It was a threshold space for me. This building, this space. There are so many ways in which we find threshold moments right here in worship, in classes, in gatherings, in fellowship hours. The threshold is here. And yet.
Right? There is this tension. We are in this sacred and holy space, holding this threshold moment of installation, and we are in conversation with this text, where Lydia is not in that formal religious space. She's not at temple. She's not even within the city walls. She is outside of the gates on the riverbank. She is at the river's edge. She has left behind that safety. And our text reminds us, and I believe that you siblings in Christ know this well, that church is not limited to these formal spaces, right? Church is everywhere we gather in prayer. Church is everywhere we gather in community. Church is everywhere we come together to discern God's call to love and to do justice and to walk humbly.
Yeah, I think there's a reason that Mandy and Marta created a podcast called Jesus Has Left the Building, right? A reminder to us that while, yes, we can find Jesus here, we can also find Jesus outside of these spaces and with people that we would never expect, with strangers in spaces that we would never maybe imagine, right there in those places, outside the city gates, outside the formal walls. God meets us. Something happens at the riverbed for Lydia that changes her. She is transformed outside of the formal structures of religion.
As Aaron and I have been in conversation with each other and with this particular scripture, we have found ourselves challenged. We think there's a challenge here for us, for our conference, for our churches, for my congregation down the road, and for your congregation gathered in this space.
Right, so 25 years serving in the institution of church, right? I love the church. I love the institution of church.
Can we hear a praise God? 25 years, praise God.
Right? And I still believe in the church. I wouldn't continue to be it if I didn't. And the things and the ways that I was trained 20 years ago are not sufficient, actually. And some of the ways in which we have been trained to lead churches, to imagine church, we have to move into a whole new space in this moment.
I'm pretty embedded, too. Third generation pastor, double PK. I'm pretty sure in this story, I'm the priest in the synagogue who has no idea that Paul and Lydia are at the riverbank. Frankly, I'm too busy enjoying the power and prestige of my pulpit. It's a little convicting. And it actually brings to mind a conversation you and I had, Marta. You invited and challenged me to reflect on the tradition, rituals, words that even without my noticing, reinforce power and systems of oppression. If I recall correctly, I was a little resistant to that conversation. And I know you're not saying that I should stop preaching, but I did hear you inviting me to investigate and to interrogate my own practice, to lean on our scripture a little. You invited me to step outside the comfort and the safety of the city gates of how I do ministry into the unknown, the uncomfortable, perhaps even the unsafe spaces of the riverbank. You invited me into that liminal space of wondering and reflecting.
I'll check in with you later about how it is to be in the uncomfortable space of not being behind the pulpit. Right? This is just what we're in, friends, as church. In the 6 years that I have been at conference, at all the churches that I work with, large and small, rural and urban, very progressive, moderately conservative, all of us are at this threshold, asking ourselves, what is it to be church today? We are not what we were, and we don't yet know what we will be, just as Lydia was in this threshold moment. We as church, as conference, as the whole United Church of Christ, as Church Universal, we are in this liminal space, whether we want to be or not. There is an invitation to us to step in to whatever this space will be. It's not necessarily where we want to be. I don't know that it's the preferred place to be. Part of me wishes that we could just kind of continue as it has for 20 years, but that's just not where the future is. There is something else being asked, and it's not comfortable, and we don't want to be here, I don't think. Do we like being in the liminal space in general?
I'm okay with it.
I mean, Marta's good with it.
It's your superpower, Marta.
Yeah, so what do we do?
So what do we do? Right, I'm about 10 years in ministry, and I thought I was getting the church that had arrived. Right? The church that ordains women and celebrates queer love and is stretching outside of the bounds of what we think is okay. I thought I was stepping into the church that had arrived. And that is not where we are finding ourselves. So what, God's beloved, our acting conference minister, what do we do?
How everyone turns to me and wishes I have a magic wand. Yes. I think the invitation today is simply to take the scripture seriously, actually. That these liminal spaces are the very spaces where God does God's best work. It is an invitation to be courageous, to step through this threshold together, trusting that God is with us, that God is moving through us, that God has called us beloved again and again and again, and that God is not done with us, but that God is calling us through this threshold into a space we cannot yet know. Mm. And this is actually where God is going to do God's best work. Mm.
That is the hope, isn't it? The promise that in these uncomfortable spaces, in the midst of seismic shifts in our world and in our churches and in our lives, and you named some of those seismic shifts you and Marta have walked through together, right? On all of those levels. And I love this phrase of Aaron's, God will and does do God's best work. So I'm going to echo, we are going to echo some of the questions that Mandy asked, because sometimes we need to hear those a few times, and we're going to add a few of our own. And this one is coming, God's beloved, as my neighbors in the Platte Valley Association, to what riverbanks are we being called?
To which strangers and foreigners are you being called to listen?
What institutional structures, dare I say, traditions even, do we need to investigate with curiosity and even challenge with love?
I dare say Paul was not looking for Lydia, and Lydia was not looking for Paul. And yet God brought them together.
And God has brought you together with your about to be installed associate pastor, Reverend Dr. Marta Fioriti.
And so as you, Plymouth Congregational Church, and all of your leaders, Hal, Marta, the church council, all the members of staff, stand at this threshold, in all its anxious uncertainty. Our prayer is that you will venture outside the city gates, that you will listen to the wisdom of strangers, that you will be brave, that you will extend hospitality, and that you will trust that God is doing God's best work.
May the Holy Spirit that opened Lydia's heart open our hearts to the new thing that is happening in our midst this morning and in this season, to the new thing that is happening all around us and within us. May it be so.
Amen.